Care Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Now, well, we heard yesterday that the government is bringing forward a bill that would introduce the ban of the sale of vaping products to those under the age of 18. The move, which secured cabinet approval today, will also prohibit the sale of tobacco products and nicotine inhaling products at events for children. Well, I'm joined on the line now by Professor Luke Clancy, Director General of the Tobacco Free Research Institute Ireland, and adjunct professor at the Technological University of Dublin. Professor Clancy, good morning and thanks for joining us. Just put this into context then, what this will actually mean, and it's something that a lot of advocates have been calling for quite some time because they would say it was getting out of hand.
Yes, they certainly were, and it is probably out of hand. Also, it was kind of disappointing that we were one of the last countries in Europe to do this. You know, restrictions on age for children and e-cigarettes is very widespread. You know, most countries in the world, in fact, and in Europe, all but a few Balkan states have such restrictions. So yes, it's welcome and it was overdue. So we're really behind the curve here. I think before the pandemic, there was a consultation on this and it looked like something was going to happen, and then it was all put on hold. So it's happening now, and they've taken the opportunity to do a few other things. Like you said, you know, it isn't just the age on e-cigarettes, but also advertising near schools and so on. And also given a bit more power, it looks like, to the environmental health officers. Now, they were crucial in the implementation of smoke-free. So that's something I would particularly welcome.
Yeah, the self-service sale of these products will also be outlawed and a licensing system will be brought in to manage their sale in retail outlets. And as you mentioned there, the advertising of vaping products around schools and on public transport will be banned, and there will be great enforcement powers there for the Environmental Health Service. This all seems to have happened very quickly, Professor Clancy. And I mean, you know, we went from smoking cigarettes to those who didn't want to smoke cigarettes and wanted to give it up to have these electronic cigarettes as a method of getting off the cigarettes. And then really in the last number of years, out of the blue, disposable vapes, and disposable vapes of every single flavour under the sun.
Absolutely. And as you've described it, that is the kind of framing of it. But I never really saw it that way. And we've been monitoring e-cigarettes in young people since 2014. I mean, that's not long ago, but that's when we started. And we've done it four times since. And each time it's just multiplied. For instance, in 2015, it was 23% that ever tried an e-cigarette. Not that they were taking them every day, but had ever tried. And in 2019, that had nearly doubled to 37%. So it was quite clear that these were a device aimed at children. I know the scenario described that this was a new great cure for one people who wanted to stop. If it were, it might have come through the health system, as it were. It did not. It came as a consumer product being pushed by people initially in the industry, which was very independent of tobacco.
Okay, you might just move around for us a little bit, Professor Clancy. The line is just breaking up ever so slightly. But Minister for Health Stephen Donnelly said that tobacco smoking kills 4,500 people in Ireland every year and remains the biggest single cause of disability and death combined in this country. And Taoiseach Micheál Martin described vaping as very dangerous, particularly for young people. And I know that some health experts and advocates are saying that we don't know enough about vaping as of yet to really definitively say whether or not, you know, it's less or more harmful than smoking. What's your view on that?
I think, again, that that's a framing that occurred in UK where they want us to compare it to smoking. There's nothing as bad as smoking. Now, that's not That's one part of it. But the other part is, what about these devices? My main interest is not how bad they are, because they're not that bad. They do cause addiction, which we know harms the brain of young people. And it also encourages other people to stay on nicotine because it's addictive. So we know that. We also know that it causes fires, etc. But the big question I always like to ask is, on the whole, will the use of these devices help tobacco control or hinder? And my feeling, and more than feeling, the research we've done suggests they're going to make matters worse, because what happened was that with young people, smoking has declined continuously since 95. Every time we measured, and it was down, down, down. It was, looked like it was going to be eliminated. And the last time we did it in 2019, it went up. That's the first time there's been a rise in teenage smoking in 30 years. And that, for my money, that's down directly to e-cigarettes. So these e-cigarettes, they're not that harmful in themselves. They are not free of harm. There are chemicals in them. They have particles which irritate. And worst of all, they now have flavors. The big problem about flavors of cherry gum and et cetera, is that we inhale those. When we eat these kind of flavors, they're no harm for us at worst. But when we inhale them into our lungs, as a respiratory physician, I can tell you they cannot be doing us good. But we will not see the damage for a long time. So yes, they're harmful in themselves, but more importantly, they're going to have a negative effect on smoking. We have shown that as a teenager, if you use e-cigarettes and you never smoke, you are twice as likely to become a cigarette smoker. This is the real problem with them, as far as I'm concerned. And this is a good move. And that's why Micheál Martin's idea that it's the revenge of the tobacco industry. That's not historically how it occurred, but he is right. They are using them. This is a wedge to keep people addicted to nicotine and particularly to enslave our children.
I think some people might be surprised and would have been surprised before yesterday that these weren't already, or it wasn't already illegal to sell them to children, or there wasn't a ban on it. I mean, and I know anecdotally, just from speaking to, you know, younger people who maybe are in school, that it's exceptionally popular, to use that word in inverted commas, that a lot of children, teenagers, are doing this, and it's seen as the norm.
Absolutely. It is the norm. Well, practically, almost half of the people have tried them. I was talking to a man last night, I hate being so anecdotal, who told me that his young child in fourth class in primary school, at his age 10, came home and asked him about vapes because someone in the class was using them. So they are pernicious. They are aimed at children. All these colours and so on are aimed at children. Unfortunately, we are behind the curve in this country in this. And while they've done what they did, and I'm pleased with it, and it's a good thing, they have not tackled the flavours. But the minister last night was saying, yes, but that's a job for the future. We may well do that.
Okay, interested to get the views as well of listeners and particularly parents out there on that. If you want to get in touch with us, 0833 97 97 97. For the moment, though, Professor Luke Clancy, Director General at the Tobacco Free Research Institute Ireland and adjunct professor at the Technological University of Dublin, thanks as always for your time. So that is news that emerged yesterday. And just go through those changes again. The government bringing forward a bill that would introduce a ban on the sale of vaping products to those under the age of 18. The move, which secured cabinet approval yesterday, will prohibit the sale of tobacco products and nicotine inhaling products at events for children. Self-service sale of products will also be outlawed, and a licensing system will be brought in to manage their sale in retail outlets, and it's also going to look at advertising around schools. And as I say, maybe some people are surprised that this wasn't already in force. So essentially, children, young teenagers, could go in and buy vapes without having to show ID or whatever the case may be. So again, if you're a parent out there, would like to hear your views on it, 0833 97 97 97. And just before we finish up on this, an environmental charity has urged the government to become the first in Europe to ban disposable vapes outright. Ireland has a leading legacy in tackling tobacco use already and should continue that ban by banning disposable e-cigarettes as soon as possible. And that comes in from the Voice of Irish Concern for the Environment. A number of European governments are actively considering how to tackle the proliferation of the disposable form of e-cigarettes on health, social and environmental grounds. So Voice of Irish Concern for the Environment calling for an outright ban on disposable vapes because of maybe the littering that's happening as well. And I'm sure a lot of you out there will have seen an increase of vapes just thrown on the ground and lying around as well. So keep the messages coming in and we'll get back to them in a few moments' time. Jen Hogan is on the line, journalist and mum of seven. Jen, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Just, we're talking to you, Jen, this morning about the average voluntary school contribution charge per child. €140 is the average. Some schools charging up to €550. Tell us, first of all, what these, and I'm using inverted commas again, voluntary school contribution charges are.
So they're the request for payment that typically comes from schools, usually in and around the same time as the book list goes out or at the beginning of the school year or sometimes even at the end of the school year. And parents are asked to make a voluntary contribution to school to support kind of the general running of the school oftentimes, or maybe sports in the school, or even sometimes funding additional teachers in some schools, depending if they're trying to offer extra subjects. But schools use the voluntary contribution as needed, depending on individual schools' requirements. And I suppose the schools are arguing that they need this extra money for the schools to run sufficiently and effectively and efficiently. But the difficulty is the parents are the ones asked to foot the bill. And the voluntary aspect of it to many parents doesn't feel voluntary. And even though you mentioned there that the average is 140, it's not uncommon to hear of amounts. I mean, yesterday I was speaking to parents about this, even had a parent come back to say that she was asked for €600. And that's per child. So if you have, I mean, there's oftentimes family caps within a school, but supposing you happen to send your children maybe to single-sex schools, and you might have a daughter in one school and a son in the other, and then you're not getting to avail of that family cap there because you have two different children in two different schools. But they are something that schools say that they need to run efficiently and effectively, but they're also an additional cost that parents find hugely crippling.
So this is a new report from St Vincent de Paul, and they surveyed 1,500 people. More than three quarters says it was not clearly communicated that the payments were optional. So that's another thing that some parents would say, is that they're called voluntary contributions, but in the majority of cases, you more or less have to pay them.
And that's exactly what I'm hearing from parents too. This feeling that you have to pay it. Some parents reported that their children weren't given lockers or weren't given their homework journal, or that messages were communicated through their children that this voluntary contribution hadn't been paid. And then there were other parents where it said that a request came into them from the school saying that if you have difficulties paying the voluntary contribution, get in touch with our offices or get in touch with the principal. And I suppose that's where the difficulty really stems, because people aren't generally not very comfortable talking about their financial situation and having to, I suppose there's a stigma maybe associated with them, and having to actually step, say I want to opt out of this rather than opt in makes it feel very like it's not a voluntary thing. And also the idea that children are being deprived of things that they actually need because parents haven't paid it. And Norma Foley has made it very clear that it must be indicated that these are voluntary and there is absolutely no obligation on parents to pay this amount. But again, because it's children, parents often feel that they have to pay it. They don't want their child to be the one stigmatised, I suppose, by not having access to the locker or not having access to their homework journal. They don't want to have this conversation with the school necessarily. And some have reported going without, cutting back on different things. One parent told me how it came to a decision between an extracurricular activity, one single extracurricular activity that her child did, versus paying for the voluntary contribution. And she paid the voluntary contribution instead, meaning her child wasn't able to go ahead with their activity. Others making sacrifices elsewhere. One even reported paying the voluntary contribution with the help of a credit union loan. And this is where we seem to have lost the perspective that this is actually voluntary, and as nice as it is to support the schools, it isn't something that parents should be feeling pressurised to pay if they can't afford it.
Well, particularly in today's current climate and the cost of living crisis, etc. I mean, almost 90%, according to this survey, of parents have had to cut back or delay spending in order to pay the voluntary contribution charge. I just want to get a piece of audio here from Eoin O'Riordan, who's the Labour's education spokesperson. He says that the voluntary contribution should be scrapped entirely.
What the government needs to do now is to recast their brains towards having a fully free education system in Ireland, where parents do not put their hands in their pockets for voluntary contributions or for school books or for school meals or indeed for school transport. We should have that vision. That should be the type of real cost of living change that would make a massive difference.
Yeah, because Jen, on that note, and Eoin mentioned the word free there, we have this idea and it's kind of sold as we have free schooling and free education here in Ireland. But you look at the cost of books, the cost of maybe iPads in some schools, the cost of transport to school, the cost of the uniform, the voluntary contributions. I mean, you're talking about hundreds, if not into over €1,000 per child per year.
Absolutely, easily so. And you mentioned iPads there. And for any parent who has a child in an iPad school, that first year of school is particularly expensive because oftentimes the student will be expected to have both the books and the iPad, buying the books for the codes that they can upload it to the iPad. And then some schools have a policy where they want you to study from the books at home and use the iPad in school. And there's different rules. But an awful lot of parents who have children in iPad schools will tell you that they have to have both. Now, between that, the books, the protective cases and perhaps even insurance, it's not long before you're over €1,000 for just that alone. That's before we go near uniforms, stationery, extracurricular activity, transport, even the fact that in secondary school, you know, our students are typically getting kind of more towards man and woman sized people, and so they need bigger shoes and bigger clothes, and all these things are more expensive. And the schools already have, a lot of schools already have not moved in accordance with the 2017 circular, which was issued by the Department of Education, saying that they were to make this move away from crested uniforms. So this idea that you could buy a generic piece of uniform, and if there was a crest, that it would be a sew-on crest or an iron-on crest, and parents would have the option to avail of special offers in a number of different stores rather than just having to go to the one place. But that hasn't happened in a lot of schools. That's still an issue that's ongoing, where you can only get your uniform from one particular place, and those types of uniform pieces tend to be far more expensive. So by the time parents pay for these sort of things, the change also that comes in fifth year in secondary school when you're moving to the senior cycle, a particularly expensive time also, and transition year costs, again, another hugely expensive year for parents. It looks like, it feels like anything but free education. So lumping the voluntary contribution on top of this and expecting parents to pay for a shortfall in education, in the education budget, is completely unfair, many feel. And the idea that, you know, if you're already under pressure and you're feeling the pressure, as many people are in the middle of this cost of living crisis, that they're expected to pick up the slack again.
Before I let you go, Jen, I mentioned there from the outset that you're a journalist, but also a mum of seven. And, you know, if we're talking about voluntary contributions, we may have parents who are tuned in that have two or three children. Mm-hmm. Just, I'm not asking you to talk about your specific situation, but for those who have larger families out there, I mean, the cost of that must be insane.
It is. It's very expensive. As I said, some schools now will offer a family cap for voluntary contributions, so you're not paying the exact same amount per child. Other schools offer the opportunity to spread the cost over maybe perhaps 10 months, 9 months or 10 months, which sounds great, but what I suppose you'd also caution against is it's still paying the voluntary contribution. It's still making parents feel that pressure to pay it, because now they've been presented with an option to pay it in smaller chunks, but that doesn't mean that the parent can necessarily afford it anymore in the overall scheme. But no, it is, it really adds up. And if you have a number of children, particularly if you have children going to different schools, so we can't avail of that family cap, it is really, really expensive. And back to school is already a hugely expensive time of year without this additional cost.
All right, Jen, thanks indeed for your time this morning. That's Jen Hogan, journalist and mum of seven. The average voluntary school contribution charge per child, €140, but some of those up as high as €550, €600 per child. Let us know if you are a parent out there how much you're paying for that voluntary school contribution charge. And remember, it's voluntary. It is voluntary. And sometimes, as Jen has outlined, she's been speaking to parents that maybe it's not what's the right way to say it? Not articulated by the school in a manner that highlights it's voluntary, but it is. So just keep that in mind as well. But let us know how much you're paying, roughly, out there. Back to the vaping. Pat says, with the changes in the law regarding e-cigarettes, should they also be put in place that they're banned in bars and public places? Asks Pat. There was also another message in from Des on that to say, when are the government going to ban vaping in pubs and in clubs? Another one came in from Anna that says that children as young as 12 are vaping. It's awful for their lungs. And a few more messages coming in. Lizzie says she's heading off to Carrick-on-Shannon very soon. So that's her trip for the summer. Enjoy that, Lizzie. And keep those messages coming in to us.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, just reading the front page of this week's Kildare Nationalist, and Conor Forrest has an article under the headline Shock and Anger as Raw Sewage Spills into the River Grease. And he goes on to say, untreated sewage from Kildare Estate is entering a nearby river and calls have been made for immediate action to sort out the issue. A resident from the paddocks in Crookstown explained that the treatment plant for the estate hasn't worked properly for years and is now spilling untreated sewage into the River Grease and the surrounding areas. Well, Fine Gael councillor Ivan Keatley is with us on the line now. Good morning, Ivan.
Morning, Owen. Thanks for having me on.
You've been talking to some of the residents from the paddocks in Crookstown. I believe you went down and visited the site where the sewage is going into the river. What's happening and how did it get to this stage?
Yeah, well, I suppose to begin with, Owen, it's important to state that this estate was granted planning permission by Kildare County Council back in the noughties. And under the conditions of that planning permission, there was a developer, what they now call a developer, provided wastewater treatment plant. And this consists of a couple of storage tanks and, again, what they call an integrated construction wetland. Just make sure I get my terminology right here. And I've been making the council aware of this for the last 5 or 6 years, that this hasn't been taken in charge by the council, and neither has it been the upkeep of the plant, which every treatment plant needs constant maintenance, and that hasn't been provided for a number of years now. So it's not just in the last week that I've been aware of this, and I've been trying to, I suppose, get the council to work with the landowner and the developer to get to a stage where we can have the treatment plant either maintained or connected into the local wastewater treatment plant. And I suppose, unlike many of these situations around the county, we have similar situations down in Moon, Timlin ongoing at the moment, one Brannockstown, all around the county, Shane. And like a lot of them, we have a ready-made solution here. That is put a 6-inch pipe, I'm told, across the field, which is belonging to the same landowner, and connected into a pumping station that is connected to the local national school and was provided by the Department of Education a number of years ago. So we have a ready-made solution here, and I suppose the latest information from the council as of yesterday is that there was a clean-up started last Friday by a private contractor, and that work is now largely complete. But the plant needs to be connected to the local wastewater treatment plant, and like I said, consent is needed from the landowner in order to complete that. And I'm again, the council have made me aware that they are on discussions with the landowner, okay, and indeed Irish Water to have that completed. So
I travelled down to Crookstown yesterday evening to have a look at this. I spoke to some people in the area. First of all, the smell in the area is shocking, Ivan, and this obviously has health and environmental hazards, and there's photographs of it in the Kildare Nationalist if people want to have a look at it. It's sewage running into the River Grease. You know, like, I mean, how has it gotten to that stage?
Yeah, well, as I've outlined, I agree with 100% with Owen, and as you said, I met the residents down there last week, and I've been down there on a number of occasions over the last couple of years, and as I said, I've been highlighting this to the council, that this is ongoing. The council had assured me up until a few months ago that the integrated construction wetland was giving a level of protection to the River Grease. Now, as you said, all you have to do is look at it, and you would call that into question, and I have on several occasions. And what the council have said is that, I suppose, the interim cleanup that has taken place and is ongoing will protect the river. But you are 100% right. It is a huge health and environmental hazard that needs to be dealt with in the short term.
The cleanup is being carried out by Kildare County Council and it will be done over the next number of days, as I understand it. But what's the long-term solution then? I know yourself and Martin Hayden went down to have a look at this. What's the long-term solution then?
Again, as I said, on the long term, we are very fortunate in this situation that there is a pumping station only a field away. And when I say a field, I'm only talking about maybe 600-800 yards away. And a gravity-fed pipe, I'm told by the council engineers and by Irish Water, would distribute the raw sewage from the estate straight into that pumping station and around into Ballytor, into the main municipal plant. And that's very, very unusual in these situations, that there is a ready-made solution that is really cost-effective. It's still going to cost a six-figure sum. The government, in fairness, have provided that funding a number of years ago now and have replenished that funding to the council on an annual basis to say the money is there. Now, there is an issue with Irish Water. They're saying that they do need a connection fee. I don't see how that stands up. As I said, the pumping station was paid for by the Department of Education. It stands Irish Water, no cost whatsoever. So we need to get heads from Irish Water and the council, bang together and just get the job done. As I said, the work that is being done at the moment is being done under environmental legislation. And as you rightly say, you know, all you have to do is visit the site to see that, you know, the connection needs to be made now, because we're just going to be back in the same situation in a number of months now if that work is not completed.
Okay, we'll have to follow up on that as soon as we get word that cleanup has been completed, to see what is going to be done then to ensure that happens going forwards. A couple of other issues, Ivan, down in that area of Crookstown and Ballytor. There's a couple of messages have come in to us saying, will you ask Ivan about the wall falling down from Thoran Road towards the village of Ballytor? It's very dangerous. And another one said here about this, I wish to raise a concern with Ivan Keatley today in relation to the wall leading up to Thoran Road from Ballytor. It's dilapidated and in danger of falling on someone, God forbid a child. We need this addressed as soon as possible. Are you aware of that wall that they're talking about, Ivan?
I am, and I've had a number of motions down, as have other councillors, on the MD in the last number of years. And the issue is with the housing section in Kildare County Council, between them and the existing landowner. And again, I've been in contact with both on a number of occasions. They're added to the problem of the wall, there is a ready-made site for a number of houses at the back of this wall. And the housing section have said that they are willing and able to get this site developed. It is zoned for housing. But your callers are 100% right. Again, on this, the wall is in a very dangerous state now at this stage, and it does need to be remedied. And I'll absolutely put down another motion next month to try and get an update from the housing section to see where they're at with it.
Another one then is looking to see if you have a completion date for the street works in Narramore Village.
Yeah, look, at again, there has been some great work ongoing, and I know I was talking to Clem and Tom out there a couple of weeks ago on Saturday. Your outside broadcaster was just outside the coffee shop that's run by volunteers.
The old hardware, yeah.
The old hardware, and I know Clem was pleasantly surprised by the number of visitors and the amount of activity around the area, I suppose. And where the outside broadcaster was parked in the car park, there's a footpath there that needs to be joined up, and the pedestrian area around the entrance to the hardware needs to be completed. That has been granted planning permission by the council, and that's going to be done by the voluntary committee and by the owners of the pub and restaurant. As I said, the great work has been done by the council in terms of redoing the road junction in the centre of the village and completing work up around an unfinished housing estate. And relative to that work, this is a very, very small item. The MD office have said that they don't have time this summer, so I've gone back and asked the road section centrally in this to issue a tender to a private contractor to get the work completed, because, as I said, relative to the rest of the work that has been completed in Narramore, this is a very, very small amount. But it is obviously leading to a huge amount of frustration and safety concerns around particularly small children and vulnerable pedestrians there around the entrance to the hardware. So we need to get it completed, and I'm waiting for a response. Again, I didn't get the response I wanted as part of the motion, and I am leaving it on the agenda until I do. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks we get something positive out of that.
We'll leave it there, Ivan. Will you get in touch with me as soon as you get word that issue with the sewage flowing into the River Grease at Crookstown has been rectified? side, and we'll follow up and try and get something done then going in the long term, because that can't happen again. And it's an environmental hazard, it's a health hazard, and people and residents in the paddocks in Crookstown and the surrounding areas, Moon, Timalyn, Ballytor, Narramore, all concerned about what's happening there. So thanks to Ivan Keatley, Fine Gael councillor on the Athy Municipal District, for coming on with us this morning. Going back to the voluntary contributions, and this listener says, I think this is a lot of money to expect parents to pay at the beginning of the school year. They have to understand this is the schools that expense to lay out with school books, uniforms and school bus costs. I understand the word voluntary means what you wish to give, not telling parents what they have to pay. I feel this is not a voluntary contribution. This is disgraceful. I feel voluntary contributions should be looked at, as this isn't voluntary in my understanding of the word, says this listener. And also we have a text back in to say thanks for raising our concern with Ivan Keatley. No problem, thanks for sending in that message, and that's what we're here for. Any issues that you wish to raise, get in touch with us on 0833 97 97 97, and we'll pass your concerns on to the relevant people.